Welcome back to Grant and Danny, about 2 hours and 20 minutes away from kickoff and Monday Night Football in Cincinnati. We're getting ready to head on over to the stadium as you listen live on The Fan. This is a Burgundy and Gold game day presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right. The show is brought to you today and every day by our friends at the law firm of Condori and Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament or set up a trust with your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention us. You will get a discount. We've had a blast with the guys from K&M all weekend long in Cincinnati. But our reason for this trip, this business trip, is because it's football time in the nation's capital tonight. And to join us right now to break this game down from all angles, the X's, the O's, we've got our buddy, the longtime tight end with Washington and with Atlanta and San Francisco in the NFL, Logan Paulson. Logan, it's game number one, primetime under the lights for Jaden Daniels. What should we expect from the rookie quarterback on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the stage is the issue. I think it's the Lou Anarumo defense. I think that when I watch film of the Cincinnati defense, I think they do a great job of disguising a lot of what they do. They are kind of the modern iteration of an NFL defense. They are coverage first, coverage second, and then if you want to run the football, they're kind of okay with it. They play light boxes. So for me, I think it's really going to come down to Cliff and how he insulates Jaden in this game. You know, can he kind of get Lou Anarumo out of some of these different coverage structures that are kind of tough to see, tough to identify because of how well they're disguised, and can we run the football and kind of get them out of a game plan that they want to be in? Now, you know, Anarumo might kind of approach it differently and say, hey, man, you know, like, the thing that's going to kill us is stopping the run, so they might come out with something completely different, but through the first couple weeks of the season, they just haven't done that. So with regards to Jaden, I think he's going to be fine. I think it really comes down to the game plan, how you insulate him, how you kind of dictate to this defense what you want, because they are very good in the back end, and they can make you look silly if you're not careful.
Logan, I want to get in on some of those specifics about playing Cincinnati, but first, big picture, you played in games like this. What is different about prime time, and what's different for, I mean, Jaden Daniels played in front of, you know, billions of people, played in front of packed houses in the SEC, but what's different about NFL primetime games?
Yeah, I mean, Monday night specifically, it's like you're the only show in town. Obviously not tonight because Jacksonville's playing also, but usually you're the only show in town. It means everybody's watching, and for a guy like Jaden Daniels, I think it's a great opportunity to show the NFL kind of some of the stuff we've been seeing from him already, you know, and I think kind of put your stamp on it and say, hey, I'm the best rookie quarterback in this year's class, and this is why. And it's because everyone's going to see this on Tuesday morning. Everyone's going to be talking about these games. And I think that's what makes these opportunities special in the NFL is, you know, when you're in that prime window, like, there's no one else to talk about. And big-time players make big-time plays in big moments. And so I really can't wait to see him play tonight and see this team play tonight and see if they can put their best foot forward and show the NFL that they're not what everyone was expecting when the season started.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny. I have been miffed by and surprised by them being the biggest underdogs of the week. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, maybe I think it's probably got more to do with Cincinnati kind of being 0-2 to start the season. I think there's a lot of people probably assuming that they're going to come out like gangbusters and really put their foot on Washington's throat. And I understand why. You know, they have, you know, one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. They have, you know, tonight they'll have like one of the best receiving duos in the NFL on full display. And again, if this game flow gets wonky at all, like if they're down by 10, if they're down by 14 in the first quarter, in the first half, like everything that Washington is built on and that they want to do kind of goes out the window. And all of a sudden you're putting a lot of responsibility on a young quarterback with a defense that knows how to make, you know, the best quarterback in football and Patrick Mahomes look silly at times. So I think that's something that is probably leaning into that, is that there is a very small window here that Washington has to hit in order for them to be successful. I think they can hit it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but because of how talented that Cincinnati offense is and how they can dictate game flow in terms of getting Washington out of a specific game plan, I think that's probably why I would assume the national line is what it is.
our guy Logan Paulson with us here on Grant and Danny. How would you expect, you touched on this earlier, but I'd love for you to expound, go deep. How would you expect this Washington offense to attack what they've seen from Cincinnati's defense here, both to get Daniels comfortable, but also to produce? Because you mentioned it, the offense on the other side is probably going to score some points.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, ball control is kind of the greatest myth in all of football, you know. But I do think kind of maintaining possession of the football, seeing if you can get that Cincinnati offense out of rhythm. Again, like, they've got a new offensive coordinator. It looks a little bit clunky at times. They really rely on Joe Burrow being kind of magical. So there is that. But I think defensively, you know, B.J. Hill hurt with the hamstring. Sheldon Rankins hurt with the hamstring. They're starting to back up guys, you know, Jay Tuilagi and Zach Carter are, you know, on the depth chart, and those guys haven't played a ton of football for them. And when you watch that Kansas City game, they're getting kind of pushed all over the yard. And so I do think there is an element of kind of being physical through the middle of this defense that is lacking. And I think Washington can definitely take advantage of that. But I do think, you know, Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, he knows what's going on. He knows that's an area of weakness. So I'm really curious to see how they enter this game because, you know, everyone in the country knows that Washington's going to try and run the football. But to me, what I'm excited to see is how Cliff handles their response. Like, what is the solution of the Cincinnati Bengals to stop the run? And then what is Cliff's solution off of it? Because we can't come out here and just kind of try to pound the football down their throats. We're not built that way. But how are we going to spread them out? How are they going to play our numbers? Do we hit the RPO stuff like we did last week? Do we hit the screen game like we did last week to kind of get the correct numbers? And I really can't. To me, that's going to be like the most interesting thing in the first drive of the game is what is the Cincinnati Bengals' response to this offense? And then what is Cliff's solution to that response? And that'll all happen, you know, in the first 10 plays. So I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Our guy, Logan Paulson, joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Commanders Bengals coming your way tonight. Washington trying to get to 2-1 with an upset win over an AFC foe. 133 yards last week for Brian Robinson. How much of his dominance and how well he's played is getting back to like 2012 Alfred Morris, they're 11-on-11, and you're benefiting from a quarterback who's petrifying as a runner, versus how much of it is that B-Rob's been great?
Well, I think B-Rob's been great. You know, he's a special runner. I think he's just such a big man who's got great feet and great vision. But, you know, his second longest run of the day comes on a five-man box. You know, and I said this on another show I did this week. I very rarely have seen in my entire NFL career a five-man box versus a six-man blocking surface. It just is not mathematically sound from a run game perspective. And, you know, Cliff is a guy through scheme and through formation earned that response from the New York Giants defense, and Brian Robinson was able to capitalize on those favorable numbers. So it's not even anything to do really with Jaden Daniels being the runner. It's how Cliff last week through RPO, through pre-snap screens, through kind of those quick get them out number count plays in the perimeter was able to dictate these responses from the Giants. And Austin Eckler has a 15-yard gain on a very similar look. So to me, it's a combination of both. And obviously B-Rob is special and he can run into unfavorable number looks because he can make that one extra, he can make the extra defender miss, he can run that guy over. But I do think you got to give a lot of credit to Cliff for some of these explosive runs we've seen. And again, you don't get to 130 yards without a couple explosive runs. So kudos to Cliff and also kudos to B-Rob.
So let's get into the passing game here for this Washington offense. I think it's by design. I like it, by the way, sort of building something slowly. I think Jaden Daniels has had more success than any of the other rookie quarterbacks. I think because of that and his skill set, what kind of is the next layer to add in this week that you would think, you know, for Washington, this offense, for Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury and company, to kind of keep building that passing game, some of the sophistication, maybe for some more chunk yardage?
Yeah, so I think the thing that stood out to me last week after rewatching the film is I think Cliff did a really good job of bringing him along slowly. But I also thought maybe he kept the reins on him for too long. You know, I think he got to a period in the second quarter there where he looked a little unsettled, like he hadn't fallen into the rhythm of the game quite yet. And I think, you know, one of the things about dealing with a young quarterback is like walking that line of protecting them but also allowing them to play. And I think you saw in the start of the second half there how effective Jaden Daniels looked after he made that big throw to Zach Ertz. So if I'm the play caller, I'm saying, man, you know, I want to try and find that opportunity earlier. So when we do call our explosive shot plays in the first half, he's locked in and ready to go. And we're not missing those opportunities down the field like we did versus Tampa Bay. So I think it's, you know, Cliff has done a good job, again, of being very selective about when he calls his shot plays, which I really appreciate. But I think it's also about making sure the young signal caller is ready for those opportunities and ready to spin the football down the field. So that's something, again, I'm also keeping an eye on is like, when's the first big throw for him? You know, when's the first opportunity for him to kind of sit back in the pocket, read it out, and deliver the football down the field? And, you know, is that in the first series? Is that in the second series? But I do expect it to be sooner than it was against the New York Giants.
Logan Paulson, Grant and Danny on a Monday evening as we prepare for Monday Night Football. Defensively, this Commanders secondary has holes and problems. Cincinnati gets T. Higgins back. Jamar Chase has not gotten going yet, obviously. But it seems like it's only a matter of time. And maybe Higgins is the key to unlocking that. What do you make of that part of the matchup, Joe Burrow against this secondary?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, when you watch the New England game, when you watch the Kansas City game, obviously Cincinnati, those are Cincinnati's first two opponents. I think the one thing that sticks out is I have never seen more straight bracket or vice coverage or safety rolled to a number one receiver in my life. You know, and I played with Julio Jones. Like, you just, usually you cannot do that down in and down out the way these teams did. I mean, I'm sure there are other, like Calvin Johnson probably saw something like that earlier. Julio Jones probably saw something like that. But without that extra weapon on the opposite side of the field, defenses were really like, we're not going to let Jamar Chase hurt us. And, you know, they have Andre Yosivas, who's a good player coming along, young player from Princeton, Burton, the kind of the speedster out of Alabama, but none of those guys really scare you in terms of down-to-down consistency. But obviously bringing T. Higgins back, you kind of say, do you now lose the ability as the Washington defense as Joe Wood Jr. to call those bracket coverages and roll that safety over there, because now there's two dynamic playmakers on the outside. And, you know, I've kind of kicked around the idea, you know, Benjamin St. Juice, I think, has played very consistently through the first 2 weeks of the season. And so maybe you feel like, hey, you like that matchup with St. Juice and T. Higgins in a more one-on-one type scenario. Obviously not straight man-to-man. Like, obviously, you have to sprinkle that in there. But man, cover three, quarters, cover two. And you can still kind of work some of that bracket coverage in. Obviously, if you do that, then one player is going to be in a high leverage situation. I would probably pick St. Juice on T. Higgins. But again, like, this is the problem of having dynamic playmakers on the outside, at least defensively, is it really forces you to be very fastidious about where you're allocating your resources from a coverage standpoint. So that, and then can you generate any type of pressure, you know, is another element that we got to, that needs to be considered. But from a coverage standpoint, I think T. Higgins' return is really, is probably going to be the key, like you were alluding to there, Grant, of kind of unlocking Jamar Chase.
On the Washington's offensive side, kind of a similar question, but kind of the opposite angle here. How did they get Terry McLaurin going? How much of a priority should it be, right? I mean, you don't want to sacrifice things. You don't want to force feed somebody, but at a certain point, a guy's above the threshold, and you have to force feed him. Like, you need to force feed Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase and company. And I kind of wonder what your eval is on what this offense should do, both in terms of getting McLaurin involved, how they get him more involved, just kind of where are we at here with 17?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look back to that Tampa Bay game, and, you know, I'm not being an apologist for the offense, but, you know, they missed two kind of deep opportunities to Terry down the field. Mm-hmm. One where he's wide open, like the Jaden doesn't see it, and one where he misses the throw. So I do think there have been opportunities for Terry down the field. You just got to hit some of those. And I think, you know, in the New York Giants, I think they did a good job. Like, Cliff, like I said, has been selective and very deliberate about calling his explosive plays, or his shot plays, excuse me, and they covered him up well. So I think there have been opportunities. It's just, you know, I think the quarterback's done a good job in the Giants game, at least, of not forcing it. And it's just like, at some point, those are going to hit. You know, they're not going to cover it correctly. They're going to drop a guy in coverage. They're going to, their eyes are going to be bad, and Terry's going to be behind the defense for an explosive play. So I think I'm just being patient with regards to that, because on film, I've seen the opportunities. It's just about connecting on a couple of them. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go from kind of middling offensive production to finding these explosive plays to Terry. And I really can't wait to see it. But it's definitely in the cards. Hopefully it happens tonight versus the Cincinnati Bengals.
How do you feel like Washington's offensive line and pass protection has held up?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give, again, a lot of credit to Cliff in terms of how he's called the game. I think he understands what those guys do well. You know, like, they're pretty physical, specifically on the interior, in terms of being, like, dexterous movers and good run blockers. And I think Wiley falls into that same bucket. And I think overall, from a protection standpoint, when you deleverage or when you limit the total number of drop-back pass opportunities, those guys are going to perform better. So I think game flow, again, I go back to that game flow thing. It's allowed them to be more conservative with that group. I think as a result, the production's been better. Have they been perfect? No. But I do think they've been very serviceable and passable in terms of their production over the first two games. And I hopefully, again, they can maintain that level of of kind of consistency Cliff can in terms of calling the game. Because if the game flow gets weird and you drop back a lot, like, I do not like any of the matchups that Trey Henderson draws in terms of left tackle production. He's a special player. I mean, like, the 33% win rate over the first two games of the season is absolutely an insane number. Like, just for some context, like, Deron Payne was at 10 the year he had 13 sacks or whatever that was, 11 sacks. So, like, it's just, you got to make sure you stay out of those situations. You call the screens, you call the quick game, you use the RPO, you use the zone read, and manage those down and distances really effectively, and manage the game flow as best you can, because he can absolutely take over a game. And again, like, he can make any tackle in the NFL look silly.
You mentioned Deron Payne. Where have he and John Allen been production-wise? What are you seeing on film that teams are doing to try to neutralize them?
Well, I think when you look at, again, the Giants, like, they did a really good job of having a very sound game plan, especially in the first half of that game, with a lot of play action, lots of double teams on the interior, lots of kind of max pro, bringing a tight end, bringing a back, ensuring double teams on the interior players, and that's going to affect everybody's production. And also, you know, again, like, managing down and distance, like, when you can run the ball effectively on first down and get to a second and five, and a third, and then a third and two, like, you can't rush the passer from a third and two, right? You got to make sure you're defending the run as well. So I think if you look at the Tampa Bay game, they were a little bit more aggressive. Tampa Bay was, in terms of trying to throw the football. They put their offensive line in more high leverage situations, which I do think Cincinnati will do. And I think when you look at the interior of the offensive line here in Cincinnati, like, Cordell Volson is a guy that is a good player, but has struggled a little bit in pass protection situations, specifically against the New England Patriots. So I really like that matchup for John and Deron in terms of the right guard there. So, or the left guard, excuse me. So that's something I would just keep an eye on. I think you're going to get more leverage matchups in terms of Cincinnati doesn't care. They want to throw the football. They're going to get eligibles out. They're going to make those five guys inside stand up and try to win one-on-ones. And I do think John and Deron are good enough, especially given some stunts and movement pre-snap, to kind of win some of these one-on-one matchups and hopefully create some pressure on Joe Burrow.
All right, Logan, what's your prediction? Bengals, Commanders, Paycor in Cincinnati tonight under the lights, the second of two Monday Night Football games.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's I think the Commanders do a good job of kind of coming out here and putting their best foot forward. But for some reason, I think the return of T. Higgins makes me a little bit nervous. So I'm going to say Cincinnati gets the win, but the Commanders keep it, have a competitive outing. Jayden Daniels has a good performance, doesn't turn the football over, and throws his first touchdown pass, but it isn't enough ultimately in a loss. So,
Logan, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Always love talking to Logan Paulson on a game day, getting his thoughts before kickoff. Danny, your turn for a prediction.
I don't like this matchup. I'm nowhere near as confident as you. Cincinnati is a sleeping giant here, and I think Washington just doesn't have the firepower to match it. I think if Cincinnati scores, and I do think they'll be able to score, Washington's defense hasn't shown the ability to stop anything at any time. And I think Cincinnati's better than either of the two teams they've played on that side of the football, just kind of waiting to break out with the return of T. Higgins. I like a 27-16 Cincinnati win here.
Let me be clear. I'm not particularly confident. I don't think it's that. Like, I don't really see a good path to Washington winning the game. I guess for me, I think that the line is a little quirky. In a week where there were a lot of worse teams playing good teams, yep, on the road, and the line didn't reflect that, this one is pretty substantial, and I think that was even early in the week before they knew T. Higgins was going to play. My point is just that there is a chance with Jayden Daniels that he plays an exceptional game. It's been so long, frankly years, since Washington has had an equalizer. You know, a player that if they're the best player on the field at that given moment, nothing else really matters. Mm-hmm. And I think with him running around, I don't trust him to this extent as a passer yet, but there are plays to be made through the air. He might be able to rip off one of those easy button 55-yard runs, and now it's first and goal from the 7. I also don't want to completely dismiss how monstrous and impressive he was on the biggest stages constantly on his way to the Heisman, and the fact that this is his first real chance to send that national message on primetime on Natty TV. And so I'm just kind of more open to the possibility of a big Jayden Daniels running game, I think, maybe, than it sounds like you are, because I think that could be the equalizer. My prediction is still that the Bengals win, but I do like Washington to cover. I'm going to say something like 30-26, something in there. But I think the Commanders, maybe it's a back door, but I think they get within the threshold of what is the biggest line of the week in the NFL in week 3.
Yeah, I mean, for that to happen, there's got to be a little bit what we saw last week. And I don't think you can count on that most weeks. I don't think most weeks the Giants defense is going to show up. But it would, you know, it means that you've got some strike plays. It would mean that a couple big plays like you're talking about, whether it's via the run, whether you hit one of those passes that Logan was alluding to, one that wasn't thrown in week one and one that was overthrown in week one in Tampa Bay, the Terry McLaurin. Maybe it's Noah Brown. Maybe it's somebody else's turn. But it means that you've got something easy, right? Or it means a higher red zone conversion percentage than 0% out of six trips.
The flip side, though, to my vision would be one of these typical disasters over the years on primetime, mm-hmm. where you turn the ball over early. You muff a punt or you fumble a kickoff or something ridiculously silly happens where just the bad football team does the bad football thing. And that's where it gets sloppy sure. and ugly early. I'm already petrified about Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. That is a bad matchup on paper. But maybe Joe Burrow, who hasn't played at a very high level yet, maybe he throws a ball right into somebody's hands or you get a batted ball pick at the line of scrimmage. You know, that's the other path. I think for sure. We are going to get on the road because we got to get to the stadium.
Yeah, we're going to the game, dude.
We got to thank our buddy Thom for letting us hang out at Thom's Watch Bar today here at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino in Lawrenceburg. We are in Indiana, but we're going to, by way of Kentucky, end up in Ohio in just a few minutes to watch football.
I think that's pretty clear. I think that's exactly how it's going to
go. If you're keeping score at home, that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And when Thom explained it to me on the phone, I wasn't quite sure, but it is actually extremely easy.
Yeah.
It is easier to do that than to drive from my house to the station any given day, I
agree
can
with
assure
that.
You.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be an entertaining evening. Pre-game is coming your way in just a bit. You know, that show will get you locked in for kickoff. And then the Commanders, ideally, Danny, won't embarrass us.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That's the floor.
Just be normal.
The ceiling is, dare I say it, a stunning victory Monday tomorrow.
I only ask, just behave reasonably. Just behave like a normal football team, please.
We'll be back at Thom's Watch Bar with a show to recap everything tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the pregame. Thanks for hanging out with us on Grant and Danny.
Thank you for coming.